Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Like the idea that Jared Goff essentially was the king of the... He was essentially the king of like the reclamation project quarterbacks, right?
Yeah.
Like he was the one who went... He was in L.A., got to a Super Bowl, but seemed like he had limitations, gets traded... And that trade at the time was like, yeah, we'll just take him off your hands, get a bunch of picks in return. Nobody thought he was actually going to turn into a great starter for them. And because of his offensive coordinator tapping into his strengths, he's been really good. But we saw this weekend that there's like a limit to that. There's only so far you can get with that. I think this actually ties in nicely to another part of the conversation that that we had with Matt Verderam earlier today. Because we asked him about like, are the Browns a quarterback away? And he fired back at us with, well, it depends on what you define as a quarterback away. Like, were you talking a quarterback away from the Super Bowl, or are you talking a quarterback away from the playoffs? And so, like, what expectation are you trying to achieve here? Because, yeah, like, I agree. The bridge quarterback option probably isn't something that the Browns can bank on being the thing that gets them to the Super Bowl next year. But it could be something that gets them back to the playoffs. And so I think these two things kind of tie in with each other pretty nicely. It kind of comes down to, I guess, like what your expectations are going to be for next season. But I think the like, so if, yeah, if you're watching this weekend and you watch Jared Goff falter and you watch Sam Darnold lose the last two games of their season with the Vikings the way that he did, I think it's fair to say, like, yeah, the reclamation project route isn't great. But it might just be like it isn't great in terms of getting you to the Super Bowl. If your goal is just to get to the playoffs, I think you can obviously, that can happen and that can work.
It's achievable. The only problem you run into at the Browns is, okay, like my goal next year, I would set it at make the playoffs. Like I would like to see the Browns make the playoffs next year. As much as they're saying, hey, we're a lot closer than people think. We're right there. We're knocking on the door. We like Denzel Ward pointing out, hey, you get the quarterback position figured out and we'll probably be fine. Like it's a start to everything going right. I would like to see you get to the playoffs, but the problem you run into at the Browns is if you go the route of, oh, I'll take the bridge quarterback and I'll find a bridge quarterback that can get me there. Okay. That doesn't get you there for very long, right? Like in a ideal scenario, maybe you get like a Justin Fields, a Daniel Jones. I'm trying to think of guys who are like 27, 28, like still very much the Sam Darnold in that same exact category.
You kind of got to go into it expecting you're only going to get like maybe 1 or 2 years out of this.
Exactly. That's the problem, is that you are getting a bridge quarterback. These reclamation project quarterbacks have yet to turn into, hey, I can keep this guy long term. Which means that you need a long-term solution if you're the Cleveland Browns, which if you make the playoffs, where does your long-term solution come in?
Well, so it's interesting because there could be a path here where you kind of do both. Because in theory, like let's just say they like Cam Ward and Shedeur Sanders and they're going to draft one at number two. Okay. Maybe they envision a world where they still go get Kirk Cousins and he starts this year. And does bridge that gap to the playoffs, and then that guy takes over. Or maybe they draft somebody like a later on, like a Jalen Milroe or something who's worked with Tommy Rees, and they're like, well, he's our quarterback of the future. And they start. So I think there's still a path where like the Browns could try to sort of do both. But yeah, like I it's not that it can't work. It just has limitations in terms of what you can do. And to your point, Jake, like you gotta know you're only gonna get like 1 or 2 years out of this. But for where the Browns are at right now. The Deshaun Watson debacle hanging overhead as this dark cloud, trying to sort of work around that situation as best you can and tiptoe around it with the financial constraints that come with it. Like, I do think the goal for next year is just get to the playoffs. And if you do that, I think that steadies the water a little bit. I think that calms the hot seat around Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry. and it gets everybody kind of back on board with like, okay, now, because going to the next year, everybody's going to say it's make it or break it for Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry. If they don't get back to the playoffs, if they don't have success, if they have another, you know, short or very minimal win season, 3 to 6 wins, they're probably getting fired. And so if you get back to the playoffs, that calms everybody down and gives you more time then to execute whatever your plan is moving forward to find that franchise guy if you don't find him this year. And they obviously can find him this year, and that maybe kills both, you know, that solves all your problems. But again, if you don't, like, it's not that I think the bridge quarterback option is dead, because I think for where the Browns are at and what their goals are next year, the playoffs should be the first thing. But I do wonder if Browns fans feel like that's selling them short. Like, if, especially after a season where it was like, Super Bowl, where this team could get there. Their roster's talented enough to do that. I wonder if people are going to go in with the same sort of expectation. Again, a lot of it, that depends on what they do, of feeling like, well, I don't want to just get to the playoffs. Like, that's not enough for me anymore. I don't think it'll be that way, because I know Browns fans, like, they've waited so long for playoff appearances. They'll take one if you give it to them. But at the same time, like, it is kind of coming to terms with the reality that I guess this team is in, which is a much different reality than where they were even a year ago this time.
Yeah, I just think coming off the back of 3-14, if you have higher expectations and make the playoffs,
yeah,
you're setting the bar too high. Like, if something went wrong this year, they are decimated at quarterback, scrambling for a solution. If they make the playoffs, that's a good bar, especially when you're looking at, hey, do I need to fire my head coach? But when you talk quarterback, that's what you run into in the problem that you go here. I think if you go to, like, the bridge quarterback option, right? Like, let's say you give me Kirk Cousins, and Kirk Cousins struggles and doesn't get you to where you want to be, and you're drafting and sitting on a quarterback. And so, okay, bad season. Andrew Berry, Kevin Stefanski gone.
Well, you only sit on that quarterback if, again, using the Kirk Cousins scenario, if Kirk Cousins struggles, at some point you're going to play that quarterback. Like, I'm going to assume this isn't going to go how Deshaun Watson did, and it's going to be like, we still think he gives us the best chance to win when the offense is scoring like 5 points, that's a random number, 3 points a game, 10 points a game. Like, I'm assuming they would go to that guy at some point. And I do think, too, like, nowadays the process on rookies is expedited. It's rare that you get a team that actually sits a rookie for an entire season anymore. But, like, yeah, I see what you're saying in the grand scheme of things. But, yeah, like, I think, like, that's how that would play out if he struggles. But if he plays well, you maybe can give that rookie a year to sort of sit.
I just think it's inevitable at any point. If you draft a guy, he's going to play. You might as well just play him from the start. Like, you don't think the Patriots should have played Drake May from the start? You think him sitting for 7 weeks really made the difference?
See, but the Patriots are in a different situation, because the Patriots are
bad looking.
I guess if you're Jerod Mayo looking back, you're like, man, if we had won, maybe I wouldn't have lost my job. So I guess that from that standpoint, but we knew, like, the Patriots are a team, like, in a true and total rebuild. The Browns is different. We've had the debates about whether or not they should do that, but right now, like, they're in a situation where it's like, no, we are a competitive team. We should be a competitive team. Okay, so if that's the case, like, your expectation by default is already going to be higher than just, like, you know. I'm not saying you're wrong that Drake May shouldn't have probably played sooner, because you could have evaluated him more, but I'm just saying, like, for the Browns, if they're trying to sort of figure out, like, let's be good, get to the playoffs, like, you honestly, like, there's a case to be made. Like, even if they take somebody at 2, starting that guy immediately is still a risk for a Browns team that has a lot at stake this year in terms of jobs and everything else. Because if you didn't pick the right guy, that's going to be found out pretty quickly. And then you're going to look like you just still botched the chance you had to land this quarterback. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah, so it's a risk either way. Right, of course. But I don't know. I think you run into a scenario like the Falcons ran into this year. Speaking of Kirk, like, Raheem Morris sat on Kirk Cousins, who played well in the beginning of the year. Don't get me wrong.
A little too long.
Yeah, and then the last 6 weeks he plays, he looks like an absolute pumpkin. And you could have made the playoffs, probably made a run in the playoffs, had Michael Penix been playing the whole time, because he stepped in and looked really good.
No, I mean, it's a good point. But like I said, I just think, like, if you're the Browns, you're going to the next year, like, we got to make sure we're winning immediately. And if you're not sure that quarterback's going to be ready, because, again, they have a lot to prove. There's a lot at stake. Jobs are on the line. And whether or not we want them to draft and build a team based off of their job security, that's going to come into play on some level. Like, they know they have to get to the playoffs next year, largely, or have a winning season. You know, if they missed the playoffs and they were like, you know, a bunch of teams that were like 10-7, I don't think anyone's going to be mad. But like, well, they'd be mad, but it would be like, you're not going to lose your job over that, I wouldn't think. But yeah, like it's, there might be roulette. They might evaluate it and feel like there's less risk involved with like a bridge guy to accomplishing that goal than even with a rookie. That's all I'm saying.
I just feel like when you draft a guy that high, how many guys have we seen draft in the top three that have sat more than a few games? Like Drake May is like the only one I can think of off the top of my head within the last few years. Trey Lance, but he was garbage, so that doesn't really count.
Yeah, he's never really amounted to much. I mean, Baker didn't start immediately.
Yeah, that worked out really well.
Part of that was Hugh Jackson, but
yeah, and them intentionally trying to lose
games. He congratulated him on getting the backup quarterback job.
Yeah, clearly the Browns had everything figured out at that point, so that was good. It's an odd scenario. I just feel like when you have a guy drafted that high, you just go in and you trust him. And if we're going for job security, I get it. Like, who doesn't want to keep their job? Also, you're in a prove-it year. Like, well, are you trying to prove it by winning six games? Or are you trying to prove it by hitting a home run?
You are in a prove-it year, but I also think, too, like, that rookie quarterback is your get-out-of-jail-free card in a lot of ways, too, for these guys.
Wasn't for Gerard Mayo. He was a first-year head coach.
Yeah, but
he should have had double the leash.
I just think about how many teams, though, like, draft that quarterback and try to stash him, and, like, that's the last card you get to play. Like, even if it doesn't actually save your job, it's the last move you can make before you to, like, try to save your job. If you start him immediately and he struggles, that might cost you your job. If you wait and then your team struggles and then you bring them in and there's, like, this spark, all of a sudden it's like, oh, now maybe they can be saved. So, there's different sort of avenues to this. But I think the concept of is a bridge quarterback still something that is a viable option for the Browns, I say yes to that because I do think, even though we saw this weekend and last weekend really with the wild card round, that concept of quarterback play gets exposed on that stage because the teams are just better and the quarterbacks are better that you're going up against. I still think it's something that can be on the table for the Browns because I don't think their goal is win the Super Bowl next year. I think you agree with that, right?
Yeah.
And I do think, but I do think that like, on some level, they kind of have to work to identify both because they got to start planning for the future, even if that isn't getting, like, even if their plan for the future is like, we're going to trade up and get one next year, fine. But they got to have some sense of like what they're going to do because this is only going to buy you like a year, maybe two.
Yeah, even if it's trade up and get one next year, that doesn't get you any leeway, any room, hey, if you're Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry. So it's like,
well, but it does if you get your team to the playoffs this year and sort of and calm everybody down, and then you draft one.
Well, then you're banking on bridge quarterbacks, which it's possible. A couple teams did it this year. I just overall they don't work very well.
Yeah,
like a couple of them could get you to the playoffs. I don't even think we can consider Jared Goff in that realm anymore. Like he's just a Detroit Lion. I mean, he is still like the reclamation project. But, like, he was there, Darnold was there, and, oh, wow. If you don't want to be the, like, exemplary make-me-this team, Russell Wilson and the Steelers were there.
Have you crossed off getting a bridge quarterback for the Browns this offseason based on how they performed in the postseason? Or do you think it's, you know, a year with that as your quarterback is okay, given what the Browns' sort of goal might be for next year, which Jake and I are sort of putting at simply being, yeah, if you make the playoffs, I think everyone's okay. 216-474-0092 at Spencito _ at Volnick Jake on X for each of us. We will get to your calls on this. Also coming up, guys, we will finally touch on what I think is maybe the greatest sports redemption story. Maybe not the greatest, but the fastest sports redemption story in the history of sports. Coming up in about 6 minutes or so, right here on 92.3 The Fan.